Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we're back.
What's up, party people?
We are
Greetings.
back once again.
Yeah.
We're in for episode 85, the Ocho Cinco episode.
Oh, Jesus.
Of 14,605 and counting.
Yeah.
Well, how's it hanging, hot take Jake?
It's hanging pretty good. How's it hanging for you?
Don't think I can top that. It's hanging pretty good, yeah.
Right.
We're hanging.
That works.
We're
Ready to roll on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Got a season three, episode three of The Mandalorian coming up, and we also have episode 13 of The Bad Batch.
We're getting to the
So,
nitty-gritty of this Bad Batch season. All right.
yeah,
Why don't we start with that? Why don't we start with Bad Batch here?
I like that. I like that thought. I got to watch it. It's fresh because I did watch it today.
Oh, okay.
Just how it happened to work out with the way the weekend and the way things were going. So it is fresh in my mind.
I actually watched this episode a few times.
Okay.
Liked it. We're getting to the nitty-gritty of this season, right? This episode is called Pabu,
Yeah.
right? And first of all, right, I got kind of a grind my gears thing. Right,
Okay.
so when you open up Disney Plus and you go Pabu, yep, it says blah blah blah. This
Oh.
episode contains scenes of an earthquake and a tsunami.
I saw that.
Okay, all right. Number one, all right. Thanks for spoiling the episode for me, Disney Plus. Thank you.
Right. I was like, well, that's
Right.
pretty specific.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for spoiling what's going to happen. Because I'm feeling good 10 minutes into the episode, but I know what's coming.
All right.
Thanks, Disney Plus. All right. Number two, I know they're trying to be like sensitive to like current events and things happening.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the big tsunami earthquake recently, and that's been happening. I guess frequently is the wrong word, but I mean, over the last 10, 20 years, we've seen several of, earthquake, tsunami, natural disasters across the world. So I mean, they
Global
want
warming. Excuse me.
to, so they want to be, so they want to be sensitive to that subject. I get it, but at the same time, I mean, that's life on planet Earth. Like,
Yeah, and
I
I was
mean,
just gonna say, I mean,
good to
really,
go.
if
I
you
mean, you know that. I mean, like.
not to take away from what people have gone through,
Exactly.
lost,
I mean, I
deal
get it.
with.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
get it, the sensitivity of the issue. I get it, but you know what? It's not like an earthquake and a tsunami is something new. This has been
Yeah.
going. How long has Earth been around? What, 65
Right.
million years? Maybe longer? Probably a billion years? I don't
I
know.
don't know, but yeah, I don't know that. Yeah.
But I
But
mean, earthquakes and tsunamis, and they're probably way worse 60 million years ago. So.
yeah. So yeah, I mean, I get it, but I mean, come on.
I mean, what are they going to start having to do? Like, this episode contains sensitive information of toe stubbing. For all of you who have bashed the shit out of your big toe,
Yeah.
we're going to have a lot of that in this episode, so you may
That's
want to,
it's
like, just
like,
walk out of the room.
I'm going into a John Wick movie, which comes out this week. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, this movie contains gun violence. No shit. All right. Duh.
Okay, so this is John Wick 4.
Yes.
There are three before it. If you are going into this movie and you're like, oh my God, the gun violence, have you not seen the other three? You're probably not going to understand the movie, but there's three before it.
Yeah.
Come on.
And that actor died too
Yeah, I
last
saw
week. Yeah,
a
I was like,
Lance.
oh shit, man.
Is it Lance
Lance Reddick, yeah.
Reddick? Yeah, that's right. I saw that. That's sad.
Yeah, man. He was good in John Wick and Wire and
wow. And Lost. He was on Lost too.
Yep. So but yeah, anywho, that was like a little grind my gears sort of to start it. I'm like, thanks, Disney Plus.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, oh, where's this going?
Good episode. Then I'm like in the back of my mind, oh, I saw what the intro said.
They fly up to this giant mountain island in the middle of an ocean, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess I know what's happening here.
Right.
And I'm sure I will say it was really cool when Hunter was like, something's not right, and then the earthquake hit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, it's not over, and it hit again.
He's got like Spidey senses.
Yeah, that's his Hunter sense.
Yeah.
Which they also portrayed at the beginning of the episode pretty well when he was watching Fee with Omega, and they were doing that deal.
That transaction.
That's a better way of saying it.
Yeah. So am I the only one in that scene? I thought it was pretty cool. I thought I thought the color scheme and everything was very cool. And that episode, I got Madripoor vibes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, in that scene. I got Madripoor vibes. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Yeah. But am I the only one when the action started popping off in that scene when Fee shoots the guy?
I was just going to say that.
That, like, Han Solo, Greedo vibes? Was that
That's
a
what
nod
I got.
To that?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they just did the Han Solo Greedo.
I was going to say it before you started talking.
And Fee shot first.
Yep.
You know, so I'm like, all right, Star Wars, doing a little nod there.
Yeah.
I like it. Omega showing her skills a little bit.
Yeah, right. Showing that she can think on her feet, kind of like, hey, that thing that's hanging over his head, let me shoot that down.
Yeah.
That was pretty slick.
Yeah, it's one episode where she's not, well, never mind. I was about to say one episode.
She doesn't need rescued.
Right.
Oh, wait, she does.
Oops.
Out in the water where the tsunami's happening, wink, wink.
The old Bad Batch formula here. Oh, we got to save Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Go. Wow. All right. I also looked up because something was like bothering me. Not bothering me, but I wanted to like, okay, what does this mean exactly? Because I hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they, when they're on the ship after the exchange and, you know, the action, they get the transmission from Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, she Sid says, Vicious. Oh, it's been, right? She's like, it's been 20 rotations and no word.
So,
like, what is a rotation exactly?
Is it technically
I hear
a
it a
day
lot.
Because it's a rotation of whatever planet?
Yes. So, it's a rotation of whatever planet that they're on or nearest, but it could vary. So, Coruscant, I was looking, Coruscant is relatively the same as Earth, as us, right? Because theoretically,
course, why not?
That Coruscant is like the origin of all humans, so it's closest to us. But rotations can vary depending on what planet you're on and where you're at. Because I want to know, like, what amount of time has passed? So at least 3 weeks, probably maybe a little bit more.
Yeah,
but you said,
it does depend on planet, because if you think about even our solar system and you look at Venus makes one rotation in 345 Earth days.
Okay.
That it makes one full rotation. I think that's the right number. I want to fact check myself because I don't like being wrong about that kind of stuff.
I don't know if that sounds right or wrong. It you know. It sounds like it would be right because they're closer to us, to the sun than us.
Oh, I overshot it, but it's, let me see. It is 243 days to complete a single rotation. And it's backwards, rotates backwards relative to Earth's rotation.
Ooh,
so
look at Venus.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So 20 rotations on Venus, it's a long time. 20 right. rotations on Earth, not as long.
Right.
So like you said, it's relative. But I do appreciate that they use a term like rotation instead of day, because yeah. day is very, it's specific, day to night, you know. But day and night, but rotation makes more sense. Did you like that little?
I did. So yeah, it was just one of those things where I hear it in Star Wars all the time, but mm-hmm. it's just something that just jarred me, like, all right, how long are we talking here? So I looked it up. I'm like, oh, it varies. I'm like, all right, cool. So
yeah,
I'll say at least 3 weeks, three weeks to a month ish. You know.
Yeah, and let me see. I want to make sure I get this right. Is that what it's called? Okay, so since I told you I've started playing Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah.
So first session was awesome, by the way. Most fun I've ever had playing a game, period.
Wow, okay.
Really enjoyed it. But when they talk about weeks, you know, we have 7-day weeks. That's mm-hmm. our standard. They have what's called a 10-day. And it's exactly what you think. It's 10 days.
A 10-day, okay.
But 3 10-days equal a month. So that kind of gets right. around their use of like, oh, well, this week, oh, see, geez, this month had 31 days, but that right. made 5 weeks because it was
stupid.
Started yeah. on a Friday. You know,
Who the hell made up February? Honestly.
do you actually want the history behind that or no?
Give it to me real quick in like
real
2
quick.
Minutes.
So the Earth actually rotates 365 1/4 days a year. That's one mm-hmm. rotation around the sun. So yep. that quarter day, they decided to take 1, 2, 3, 4 and tack an extra day on the end of February and just call it a day every 4 years. That's your leap day,
right.
leap year, which I was born on leap year. So that's why I'm so, you know, I know that. But that's why there's that extra day in February. And February being the shortest month, I guess I don't have a good answer for that. But,
yeah, like... Whoa.
But it's just so weird. It's like 30 days, 31 days, 30 days, 29.
Yeah, right. 28,
29, 31, 30. Like, I don't know why they...
Yeah.
But I guess it's because you probably can't get 12 into 365 evenly. Well, if you figure,
all right, there's like, all right, there's roughly 5-ish months with 31 days. And February has 28, right? I mean, you can tack on some of those days to February to make it 30, and then leap year 31.
Yep.
And then you'll still have, like, you know, another month or two with 31 days, and then you're good to go.
If you have four months at 30 yeah. days, you have 7 months at 31, and then you have your 28.
Yeah, so we can like tack on a few of the 31 month days, take a day from them, add a few to February to make it 30, right? And then you still have your leap year to make it 31 on right. leap year. I mean,
really, if you so
we these we're... tangents that we go on, man.
I know.
All about all stemming from rotation, ladies and gentlemen, from Star Wars.
So if you had equal amount of 30 and 31 days, it's 6 months at 30 and 6 months at 31 at 366 days. So you could just, well, there you go. You would tack one down to 29, not 28, 29, and it'd be even. But 365 divided by 12 gives you 30.4. So it's like... Let's do half at 31 and half at 30. So I get that, but that 29-day month, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
And I was born that month, so I know that's my month, but still. I'd like a longer month for my birthday, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. Anywho.
Yeah. But yeah, so rotations. Yeah. They use the term rotation, which is nice. And I don't know what they use for years, really. I haven't really heard... God, I'd really have to dig into that for Star Wars lore.
Yeah.
Because a year is going to get really complicated when you think about rotation around a star. So yeah. How do they track age? That's another crazy thing to think about, because if you're going from planet to planet to planet to planet, light speed, all that crap, that's really going to mess up your...
I think we are really going down a path that's...
Yeah. That's going to hurt my brain.
Yeah.
There's no anchor point. You're like, I was born. Oh, geez, when was I born? Where was I born? How long have I... Oh, my God.
Yeah, you could either be 30 years old or like 100, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
No wonder Yoda was 800 years old.
Yeah, probably before light speed. He spent 600 of his years in one transit from one end of the galaxy to the other.
Yeah. So.
Probably not even then. That's still way too short.
But yeah. So, you know. But yeah. I was wondering when that transmission came through from Sid. I'm like, what's the rotation exactly?
Yeah, and speaking of that transmission from Sid, it's like, wow, so they ditched her.
Yeah. I mean,
that's their way of telling us that they ditched her.
that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like when Fee said she's not something like she's not the one you want to cross.
Yeah.
I feel like, all right, we're going to have the penultimate episode basically of this season this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're setting up for Sid being the one to be an asshole.
No.
And be like, oh, Empire, yeah, I can track these guys.
Hey, these droids you've been looking for, I think I know where they're, these droid clones, I know where they're at. You know, like...
Right,
yeah, they screwed me over. They owe me some credits.
Right, because I feel like they already set up, okay, they need Omega, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for Omega. So I feel like they set that up already. Sid's going to be salty, right? So she's going to be like, F them.
It's probably not a good idea because she's kind of a slug, so that would... Salts and slugs don't go good together.
Wow. So yeah, that's my hot take. I feel like Sid's gonna be the one that rats them out to the Empire. Cause they're just not gonna live all nice and cozy on Pabu, right? They already set that up too when Hunter asked the mayor, like, are you worried about the Empire coming here? And the mayor's like, if they do come, we'll manage. Mm. Well, he said, we're a small, remote island, limited resources. But if they do come, we'll manage. I'm like, oh, we're setting that up big time. Come on now.
Yeah. When I see them, walking around on this island, I'm like, man, if they stay here too long, it's just going to turn into nothing but trouble.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah. It's like they've got like a homing beacon on them. And it's like, here they are on this planet.
Wrecker's going to be walking around in his, his shorts and his Hawaiian shirt, what I mean? He's drinking out of the coconut, chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you see TIE fighters pull up. Like, yep. Yep.
Yeah, so it's a Star Destroyer drop out of orbit.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Shit.
So this whole paradise thing isn't going to last long, basically. No. And I feel like Sid is going to be the primary reason for that.
But, I hope what actually happens is that they get some kind of signal that, they make Crosshair send something or something like that. And they have to leave to go to him. So it doesn't involve Pabu getting ransacked and they can actually use that as like a nice pit stop for them occasionally.
Their safe haven.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Instead of being on Sid's, on her radar with her dark deals, they can get
it's
out.
It's too nice and cozy. Nice and cozy. And Star Wars has been getting dark lately.
I feel like. Maybe this gives them the something to fight for, instead of doing missions to bring Sid money and you know, try to feed themselves. They instead do these missions to liberate people and bring them to Pabu as like a safe haven for them and defend it kind of as like a homestead.
They do. I mean, I definitely do feel like that this is the home that they've been looking for. Especially Wrecker. I love this place.
Yeah.
I'm never full. I'm like, oh, Wrecker's my spirit animal.
Right. Yeah, Wrecker's pretty great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with that, that, you know, this is their homestead, I think, you know.
Yeah. And but, you know, you like you said, anything in Star Wars, if it looks like it's a, if it looks happy, get ready for it to not.
Not going
to
be happy for long. Yeah,
never. There's no, nothing ever ends up being happy.
Yeah,
not even the end of Return of the Jedi. Because Luke loses his dad. Bye, Dad. You know, like okay, he doesn't even get. Finally, they finally come to this like nice terms. Doesn't even get to spend time with him. And he just burns him. You know. And then you know, in Star Wars lore, right after that, like, shit happens again. It's like...
Yeah. Nothing's ever happy for a while.
And then Palpatine somehow returns.
Somehow Palpatine is returned. Which, all right, we got a big discussion on that. Wow. How do you really feel, Hot Take Jake, huh?
You know...
Okay, wait. All right, let's close out on Bad Batch before we get down that path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much we've hit the major points.
Yeah.
you know, thanks Disney Plus for spoiling it. Oh, Pabu, here comes an earthquake.
Yeah.
And tsunami. Thanks.
Yeah, earthquakes. They didn't even say. They could have said, like, environmental distress.
They could have said, you know.
I mean, they could have said, like,
you know.
Paradise, they find paradise and it may not be what it seems. Dot, dot, dot.
Like, I like that.
But
like
they that. Said earthquakes and a tsunami. And it's like.
Damn.
What
thanks.
The hell? That is like exactly what happened.
Wow, Disney
that'd be,
Plus.
That'd be like putting the summary on Avengers Infinity War and saying the Avengers try to stop Thanos from snapping his fingers and don't succeed.
They lose.
Like, like oh, cool.
I mean, which you do know, but I mean, still.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Honestly, not to take too far of a divergence from the topic at hand. We're done with Bad Batch. We're moving on to Mando. But real quick, like even in Infinity War, you didn't know Endgame was coming next. You knew they were doing like another Avengers movie or something like that. I think that came up. Like I think at that time they were saying there was going to be two.
Well, the time it was going to be two parts, right?
Yes,
that was the thing. You knew it was going to be two parts.
Yes,
right.
But you didn't know exactly what was going to happen.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Even though you know, like, okay, it's Thanos, it's the Infinity Gauntlet. There's Infinity Stones involved. There's a chance he's going to snap his fingers and he's going to erase half of existence. There's a chance that's going to happen. But are they going to do it? Who knows? And then when Thor freaking chops him and you're like, yes, he got to him. And he goes, should have went for the head. And you're like,
most,
oh.
That was the most badass villain
leap.
Shit. And
yeah.
And I will always say that that's for me, that's a top five all-time villain moment.
Yeah.
Like, that's all throughout movies for me. That's top five.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a freaking axe in the middle of his body, and then he said, you should have went for the head.
Somehow survives it.
Yeah. I'm like, holy hell.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, it's like sunk in the middle of his chest. Next time you see him, he doesn't even have stitches or anything. He's just like, oh yeah, this gauntlet like totally murdered my arm twice. And oh yeah, that axe thing in my chest. Yeah, that didn't even happen. Yeah. Yeah, you basically split my ribs in half, but oh yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for checking. You know, like he freaking put a mystical
weapon.
Weapon, a god weapon that can summon thunder and travel across the Bifrost through space and time through his chest, and he was like, oh yeah, hey, I'm gonna snap this arm right now, and yeah, y'all are effed, so peace. I'm gonna drop into this portal behind me and go elsewhere.
Go to my garden.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to my garden and, you know, I'm gonna make some like herbal home paste and rub it on my axe wound, and we're gonna be good, you know. Like, they never even addressed it. They never even addressed it. Thor wasn't even like, hey, you know, I buried an axe in his chest, and he's like, he's somewhere. We need to go find him. He's hurt. Like, nothing. He just, like, disappeared. So anyway, even though, like, you kind of knew that was going to happen, if they would have put it in, like, the summary, like, yes, yeah, Thanos snaps his finger, his fingers, and, you know, I'd be like, oh, awesome. So it does happen. Great. Now I know what to expect. Thanks a lot.
Right. And that would have ruined that scene.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, this is one episode of a series, and it was inconsequential, but still, it was just the wow. Two earthquakes and a tsunami. We are going to be very specific and put it right in the freaking summary.
Yeah. The good news is, though, I think the way that historically that a lot of these series have been trending, the penultimate episode is usually a banger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to set up something for the finale, the two-episode finale.
Yeah, it's a two-part finale, so that's why we're saying the penultimate as the next one.
Yep. So I'm expecting some things, some good things.
We're expecting a banger this week.
Yep. Yeah, so.
So. But now all moving right on to The Mandalorian part, or episode 3 for the season. This one was called The Convert. I got to tell you what.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
And I'm going to say this is like...
Oh, man.
Mando and Andor being the live action stuff so far. Well, Book of Boba Fett. Well, I'm still going to include that in Mando.
Mando season 2.5. Yeah.
They have been dope with the freaking sky battles, the fighter battles, the dog fights, I guess you'd call
them. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So
that was really cool.
I said last week's show that this was supposed to be the longest episode of the Mandalorian series.
Mm.
And we got it.
Yeah.
We got it. However, and this is very much a topic I have seen across the internet waves that, you know, over half of it was not Mando.
It was necessary.
How do you feel about that?
I feel it was necessary because here's the thing. We only have, what, 8 episodes? 9? 8 or 9, something like that.
Something like that.
Okay. They're going to have to spend a chunk somewhere explaining what's going on in the galaxy. It can't all be about Mando. And he can't go to Coruscant. he's not going to just stroll down the streets of Coruscant like, yo, what's up? I'm Mando. This is my little Grogu dude. Yoda. You guys know Yoda, right? Oh, yeah. You probably shouldn't take him. We're going to leave. You know, that's not going to go well for him. That's not happening. Okay.
Sorry, that reminds me. I got a meme that
I saw. Oh, boy. Here it comes. I can't believe they made almost an entire episode without me. This is my show for the first time. That's amazing. That's a good one. Very, very nice. I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, true.
There
I mean,
was a we had a pit stop of the normal Mando series, and we got the convert. So this was Dr. Pershing, that was his name,
Dr.
right?
Pershing.
Dr. Pershing,
and you know,
remember him from season two. He was the doctor.
Season one.
Or see late season one. Oh wow.
It was in season one because he was the one who
oh yeah.
That the, God, I can't remember his name now. He was the Imperial contact who was trying to acquire Grogu.
Yeah.
And Dr. Pershing was there. And then they ended up taking him back there. And that's when Moff Gideon came into play.
Yep.
But even though this episode did have a very large chunk of it, not including Mando, it was still bookended. You still had one of the best starfighter battles of Star Wars. I mean, that was awesome. Dropping out and getting in his own ship, flying around, scooting through those valleys, you know.
Yes.
Those twists, that was really cool. So that was Bo-Katan, awesome.
Like I've flown these hills or whatever she said as a kid. Like,
yeah.
Even though it's been a while. Like, oh, great. Thanks.
And she doesn't have a small ship either. That's a big ship.
Yeah.
And they got those interceptors on their tail. So that was pretty cool. I still have to say that Andor with I can picture him.
Oh,
come on, help me
Luthen.
Out. Yeah, that was probably one of the best. That's easily like.
Oh yeah, Luthen's a beast.
Top three. That was awesome.
Oh yeah.
So that was awesome right at the beginning, very end having the acceptance by the armorer, and you know showing that they joined that, well, cult. Let's call it a cult because. Call it like we see it here.
Yes.
That's basically what it is. So, I mean, that was really like the bookend of the episode. So, we've still got, you know, good Mando content, but then...
Oh, but, you know, Dr. Pershing, I don't want this stuff. This is Mando. And what made Mando so good is they didn't do all these, you know, stuff to connect the universes. They made Mando his own thing. Now they're taken away from that.
I'm
just
that was impressive.
I'm just telling you, I'm just giving you a basic summary of the things the comments that I've seen.
While you were talking right there, I had to pull my phone and hit the camera button and put it on selfie mode to see if I was talking because it sounded like something I would do. So I think I might be rubbing off on you.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. But this episode, it was so long. 30 minutes of it was Dr. Pershing and what made Mando so great that he was, this is like a Western. This is his stuff. He's disconnected basically from the rest of Star Wars universe. And now they ruined that, blah, 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 blah.
Did those people watch Book of Boba Fett? Because Boba Fett and Tatooine and... Star Wars universe.
Oh, that's not Mando. Wow.
Luke Skywalker and Ahsoka, and that's all Star Wars. So those people must not have watched Book of Boba Fett.
Oh,
yeah. And by the way, he goes to Tatooine a lot anyway because that's where Pelly is from. So that's also connected to Star Wars.
Oh.
I don't want to say what that sounds like, but you can probably guess what those people sound like they're doing.
But yeah, that was the whole big thing about this episode is that some people felt that taking that departure away from Mando
well
goes away from what makes this such a successful series.
So I will say, from season one, where they were trying to get Grogu, that's the whole reason we got Grogu. And at that time, he was Baby Yoda because nobody knew his name. Mm-hmm. And probably one of the most successful characters to come out of like a Star Wars thing. Like Mando and Grogu were like, there's a bank. They're making bank off of those two right there.
They are.
Easily. So the whole point we get Grogu is because this dude wants Mando to bring Grogu to him and Dr. Pershing. Okay, so that right there is like the plot of like the first half of season one.
That's right? Very true.
Yes. Okay, so then all of a sudden Dr. Pershing goes missing and you're like, where the hell is this guy? We're just going to abandon this whole, you know, hey, let's get Grogu to get his genetic information for this cloning program. We're not going to talk about it anymore. Oh, hey, now we're going to talk about it again. Wow. I was like, thank you for bringing it back up because I thought, hey, maybe this was just a ruse to get a cute little baby Yoda looking character for everyone to go, aw, you know.
Yeah.
No, I think that's some pretty serious plot. I actually, when it popped up and it was like, oh, shit, we're on Coruscant. This is amazing. I was like, okay, cool. We're going to get some good content here. And they touched on the cloning thing and this amnesty program. Because you're like, what happens to Imperial soldiers who didn't, like, die in the war? Yes. You know, what happened to them? Do they become prisoners? Do they have to, like, find a way back into society? Yes, through this amnesty program.
Yes, they answered that question. Cool. Good call. Yes.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes.
They're reintegrating former Empire staffers into the New Republic. Cool idea. You get to see more of Coruscant without, you know, it being a background for Anakin, Chase, and Padme. And then it was just... the problem I had with the episode was right out of the gate, you have Dr. Pershing talking about his research to a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back to his housing and starts working this job, and he's not allowed to even mention that he was in cloning of any kind. So why did they have him talking about cloning at the beginning of the episode? If they're going to tell him, no, that's a no-no, don't touch that. You know, like, what's up with that? That confused me a little bit. But I also was very confused with what was going on with Elia Kane. Like, is she in the amnesty program? Is she like...
I feel like that they made that kind of ambiguous on purpose because I feel like they're going to explain that a little bit more coming up soon. I feel like there's still a Gideon connection there.
Yeah, and, most likely.
And Gideon's, you know, he's going to rear his head sometime soon, and that will all be, you know, that will all be illuminated TBA.
Yeah.
To be announced.
And I mean, honestly, they do a good job of not leaving loose ends in this show. And I mean, even in like Andor, they didn't leave very many loose ends. They tidied things up a bit, especially the whole Death Star connection.
Yeah, you know, that was awesome.
That was a cool tidy up.
Yeah.
But, I know it's going somewhere, but the interesting thing is like, where else do you do this in this show? You don't want to be like another sitcom or show where they're like, hey, we're going to go find out what Mando's doing. Oh, let's jump away for 5 minutes and follow Dr. Pershing. No, nobody's going to care about that for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's going to be like, oh, fine, I'll get my phone out and scroll the internet. Oh, they're done with him. Let's go back to Mando. If you take it and you chunk it together in like the middle of an episode and you bookend it with a really cool battle, and on the other side, Mando and Bo-Katan meeting up with the other Mandalorians, like that's worth it. But they're gonna have to waste an episode doing it. And that's okay. There's a lot of shows that have had to do that with that kind of content.
Wow.
But I think it was necessary.
You are a voice of reason that I don't think a lot of people have listened to.
No, because all people want to do is bitch and complain. All I want to do is bitch and complain because it's not what they wanted.
Wow.
This isn't what I wanted. Give me more Mando.
Wow. Hot take, Jake.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, I think the reason why people don't like it is because I think we've pretty much confirmed, unless this whole cloning thing is a huge pump fake in reverse that they're doing, which, hey, if they figure something out, I'm all for it. But unless this is a massive double pump fake in reverse, they're trying to explain somehow Palpatine through Bad Batch and through Dr. Pershing and Mando.
Yeah, they're really focusing on the whole cloning thing in both shows.
Yeah.
And
as soon as this came up in Mando, and I'm like, all right, this is what they're doing. They're trying to do what they did in Clone Wars, what they did with the prequel movies.
Yeah.
They're using Bad Batch and Mando to try to do the same thing with the sequels. Will they be successful? I don't know.
It's got to be like Kathleen Kennedy's got to be like, Dave, John, people love you. They love you and you are Star Wars. Can you please save my ass? Make the cloning make sense. I don't know what happened there. Somehow he returned. Explain the somehow for them, please.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
That is what's happening.
And they're like, oh, fine, we'll throw you a bone, Kathleen. Thanks for screwing it up in the first place.
The problem, though, is the problem that a lot of people have, well, one of the problems, anyway, that a lot of people have with the sequel trilogy is unless they do some type of another series or something, like in the Legends books and canon and everything like that. Well, the Legends stuff, like Luke Skywalker is one of the baddest ass Jedi of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we get in the Disney canon is he goes from Return of the Jedi to basically Obi-Wan Kenobi, how he was at the start of the Obi-Wan series. Like this broken dude.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't like that about how they treated Luke Skywalker in the sequel.
Well, okay, trilogy. Now think, if you think about this too, Force Awakens was basically someone took the blueprint of A New Hope. They're like, let's do it again. We could do this again. Think about it. You got a young Jedi and she has no idea what's going on. She gets pulled onto a spaceship with Han and Chewie. R2-D2 and C-3PO are there. There's a Sith who kills their older mentor, who happens to be Han in this case, not Obi-Wan, and they're on a Death Star and they destroy it. It's A New Hope. They're basically made A New Hope again, you know. Mm-hmm. And they needed an Obi-Wan type character to mentor the young Jedi through the second movie. Obi-Wan and Yoda did that for Luke in Empire, albeit Obi-Wan was a spirit. So they wanted to make Luke this old curmudgeon hermit like Obi-Wan. Like, oh, let's bring Luke back and make him a freaking hermit. No, come on. they wasted Luke's character.
That's the problem that a lot of people have with this.
Yeah, so I totally get that.
Yeah. Because he was such a badass in the Legends stuff, in the books and stuff like that.
And look what they did for him at the end of Mando Season 2.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was less than 5 minutes, and it was better than anything the sequel trilogy did.
You remember how much hype there was when that came out?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how many times did I text you that day, that morning?
I think my phone broke. I'm gonna be honest. It was a lot.
I mean, there was so that broke the internet. you know, that when that dope. Happened.
And they kept it a secret.
Yeah. And we talked about it. We talked about it before it happened about, okay, Grogu's going to go to this thing and reach out to any Jedi that can hear it. And we thought about it. Like, the only people that are out there right now, besides Ahsoka, Ezra's out there somewhere, right? Then we were like, Luke. But, oh, no, Luke, that makes too much sense. That's too easy. No. So then who is it, right? The it's like one of those things that, you know, you're looking for something and it's right in front of your face. Like, boom, there it was.
Right.
And, yeah, they kept it a secret. Like, that's amazing.
Really, I mean, it's pretty impressive that it stayed a secret that long.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something on that topic because there is
Luke in the sequels?
Kinda. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I mean, you probably read this, but where is it? Come on, I just had it. Turd. There we go. But it had to do with the legend of Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
And from a perspective of, from us, the viewer, we know what happened. We know Luke went in with Darth Vader. Darth threw the Emperor over. He came out with Luke and they left the second Death Star and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But from an Imperial point of view, anybody who survived on that second Death Star, who got off of there in like a shuttle and went on to live, they saw Luke go with Vader and then Luke come out. The Emperor was dead. He's carrying a disfigured and like beat to hell Darth Vader who died.
I think I did read this somewhere.
And flew off of the Death Star. So the legend is that this Jedi went in and defeated the Emperor and Darth Vader and got off of the Death Star and was responsible for destroying the first one.
Yeah.
So when Moff Gideon, who's clearly heard this, you know, this legend.
I did read this, yeah.
Yeah.
When he sees him, he's like, oh, this shit.
Dude with the green lightsaber, he's like, oh my God, that's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And he just annihilates his dark troopers, which, see, another thing I appreciate is when a show sets up how strong something is and then casually destroys it.
Yeah.
Like, to show how powerful something else is. Like, Luke, just coming in there, like, Mando had trouble with one of those things.
Yeah,
and
right.
Luke just came in and was like, pew, 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 you're all like gone. Like, yeah. That's how much money did you waste, Gideon? That's right. And he just casually strolls through them. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Another example of that, which I've mentioned before, I believe, was actually, sadly enough, in Force Awakens, because Chewie's crossbow, Han took it and fired it, and he could barely control it, and it just destroyed a stormtrooper, and he's like, whoa. And then later, Chewie blasted Kylo Ren with it, and Kylo Ren barely moved, like, absorbed it, okay? And then he went to fight Rey and Finn, and it was like, how does Rey best him in lightsaber combat and Finn, and he's this powerful Sith, blah, blah, blah. Because he was force holding this giant blast wound in his chest shut.
Yeah.
While he was fighting them. Yeah. And still kind of owning them at the same time. So that was like a perfect example of, hey, here's how powerful this crossbow is. Oh, by the way, look, he's withstanding that blow and still standing and fighting. You know, like.
Yeah.
I love when a show or a movie does that. And that's what they did with Luke Skywalker and the Dark Troopers.
Yep. But
he was wasted.
Here comes the sequel trilogy. And the sequel trilogy.
So again, the Dave Filoni is bailing her out again, Kathleen Kennedy out again. Like, fine, I'll make Luke cool again. You know, like, bring him back in the most epic fashion and then show him training Grogu. And it's like,
yeah. And, oh, and by the way, I'll figure out this Palpatine Snoke thing for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
You've given me a heavy task, lady. I will take it.
But
I will be even cooler.
That's clearly where we're going with this. And like I said, unless we get the most epic, unless we get the most epic double pump fake in reverse.
Yeah.
Like, they are explaining somehow Palpatine has returned.
Like, if they pull Pershing out of that mind flare and, like, march his ass down a hallway and turn a corner and push him into a room and he hits the lights and looks around and there's all these, like, Snoke bodies floating around. I'm just going to be like, all right, I'm done watching this show.
You know it's probably going to happen at some point.
I'm so sad.
That's going to happen at some point.
I want to enjoy it while I can, okay?
Because, so what Bad Batch is going to do, right, they're going to plant the seeds that we're going to see in live action in Mando, right?
Yeah.
So, Bad Batch is planting the seeds that we'll probably see in live action Mando. Probably some type of Snoke
seed. So, it'll be interesting because what's likely to happen is Bad Batch will push the cloning thought and idea and science through to the end of Return of the Jedi, which then on the other side of it, Mando picks back up again, trying to tie those remnants up. So that's
That's
interesting. I have to point this out because I'm very disappointed that I haven't seen a meme yet, but while Dr. Pershing is laying there and they're about to put this mind flare to him, there is a scientist who is a Mon Calamari standing there. And Dr. Pershing looks at him and says, "It was a trap." And I swear.
There was somebody. I saw somebody who did something, but I don't think they did it. I don't think they made it like a meme. I think they just said it in a post or something. I don't think it was a meme that they made.
I swear, and I'm going to go back and watch it. I swear that Mon Calamari character rolled his eyes. I swear he rolled his eyes. And that was, so now that was a very dark and very like intense scene that was happening.
Yes.
But when he said it was a trap, I laughed so hard. I was laughing and I was like, I shouldn't be laughing right now because this dude's about to get flayed.
Yeah.
But they threw an it's a trap joke in there. I mean, that is incredible.
Yeah, they did. That's
my favorite part of the episode. And that's saying something with the intro.
They did in Bad Batch. They did, you know, Han Greedo.
Yeah,
and then
right.
In this one, they did Return of the Jedi, General Akbar. So. Also, by the way, back to Bad Batch real quick. I didn't know Tech was Batman. Did you see when he was like
grappling hook?
We gotta go this way. Like, okay, Bruce Wayne. Like,
did you also notice the subtle, not so subtle flirting between him and Fee?
Oh yeah, they're gonna be banging.
There's your brown eyes, right?
Yep.
With me, brown eyes.
Yeah, they're going to get it all. They're going to get it all.
He's like, technically they're hazel, but I'll take it.
He would say something like that.
He would.
Yeah. But like, okay, Batman. All right. Yeah. Cool. He just grabbed the grappling hook out of his belt and, you know.
Yeah. She'd be like, that was pretty amazing. He'd be like, while I don't have the data to comment on myself, I have to say I did enjoy it quite thoroughly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
There's something going on there.
There is.
He scooped her up and went up the grappling hook.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, all right.
But
go for it.
But
Tech.
yeah, this is a Mando episode, and we don't really talk about Mando that much, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
But
we hit it enough. I mean, again, it's we bookended it with something else. It was that's basically what that part that whole episode was. It was just kind of like, oh, hey, let's go to Coruscant here and spend a whole episode talking about it, because what's eventually going to happen is later in the season we're going to see somebody again or something come up again, and it's going to be like, oh yeah, that episode of that third episode, that was that whole thing for this like 5 minute interaction to explain it.
Oh yeah. And the big thing with Mando is that he's redeemed along with Bo-Katan.
Yes, she was also did you go in the living waters?
When they got off the ship and Mando was like, it's best if you leave your helmet on,
yeah,
or something like that. I was like, oh,
yeah, sure it is.
Yeah. And
so
they all go, this is the way and all that stuff. They're all redeemed.
So I'm gonna get a little science nerd here for you.
Oh boy. Okay?
So when I'm gonna explain this. I'm gonna try and explain this best I can. Like, so it doesn't, it's not so roundabout. So when the armorer asked for proof that they were on Mandalore, and then Mando scooped up that water, I'm like, how the hell is she going to know? How is she going to know that's the water? Because, you know, do they have a sample of the water that she can compare it to? I mean, no, probably not. And then as they travel back, and she's in, and Bo-Katan's talking about how the living waters connected to the mines where the Beskar was mined.
Yep.
You know, I was like, oh, that water's going to have traces of Beskar in it. And
you,
my thought went
you
there.
Son
because
of a bitch.
My mind went there because
you
at
son
work,
of a bitch.
I have to send water samples from
you just went plants. You're going all chemistry on us, aren't
I
you?
Am
oh, all right,
we,
here we go.
We take water samples from the plants, and we have to send them out to be tested for heavy metals, because it's part of like our safety and disposal of that kind of stuff,
right?
And we test for heavy metals. Well, Beskar would be considered a heavy metal,
you
and there could be
of
traces
bitch.
Of heavy metal in the water. So
you son of a bitch.
So I'm like, oh, that's how she's going to know. So when they handed the water to her and she dumped it into that basin and you saw it get silvery, I was like, there's your traces of Beskar right there. She knows. That's the legit stuff.
You son of a bitch.
Right.
You just went chemistry on her.
I did. I totally did. And it was like funny because she did. Bo-Katan was like, yeah, that's where the mine the Beskar. And I was like, that's how they're going to know that's the real stuff.
You son of a bitch.
I would have been really happy if she would have like turned around and she would have taken that water sample and pulled some of it with a needle and put it into like a GC. I would have been like, oh my god, she's doing science. I would have got excited. Like, she's running it through a GC to test. Oh no, now she's gonna use a Carl Fisher to do water content. Oh my god, she's gonna use an ICP to do metals. This is amazing.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Yeah.
She said, take it to the lab, boys. And
yeah.
Like some this is perfect. She takes the sample and looks at it and she holds it over her shoulder. And this dude with a Mandalorian helmet comes out with a lab coat on and just grabs it. He's like, I'll be right back, madam. And goes around the corner. And they should do like a lab montage of him doing lab work with a Mandalorian helmet on. And this lab coat, it just says like it's a lab coat, and it's got the little pin on it that's got the mythosaur skull, you know, like,
oh yeah,
totally nerding out right now.
But
that'd have been great. The tests are conclusive. That is Beskar in that water. They are from the mines of Mandalore.
This is the way.
Okay, science nerd, thank you. Go back to your lab.
This is the way.
You have been redeemed.
And I love, all right, we're getting a little Bo-Katan arc here. Right.
Which so is now, going to dive into Ahsoka, I think.
So now her palace is destroyed, right? So she's got nothing.
Yeah.
She ain't got squat. She ain't got no Darksaber. She ain't got no crew. She ain't got nothing. Right?
And I love to get her meals for her.
I love what they did with the camera and body language in that last scene, because
yeah,
you can tell when they're all going, this is the way, and they're all redeemed, without any facial expressions, without seeing her face, but just with the body language and the camera angles, you can tell that those gears are turning in Bo-Katan's head. Like,
yeah,
I got no house, I got no crew, but all of a sudden now I do.
Yeah.
So as much trash he talked about the cult, I think she's going to be down the clown. Yeah. That's where we're headed.
It's going to be interesting.
Be down the clown.
It'll be interesting to see Paz Vizsla with her, because Clan Vizsla and Clan Krees.
Yeah.
So that'll be, because I'm trying to think, Gar Saxon, was he? Wow, what was the, they were the Death.
The Death Watch.
Death Watch, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gar Saxon worked for his name was Vizsla.
Mm-hmm.
In Clone Wars.
Yep.
And that's where he had the Darksaber. He was the one who carried it.
Yep. I feel like she's going to, Bo-Katan is going to get the Darksaber back somehow.
Yeah, there's going to be some tension, though, between her and Paz Vizsla.
Yeah. I feel like she's going to end up somehow being that's going to be her crew. She's going to do like a John Gotti takeover, like he did the Gambino family.
What if we get a Sabine Wren cameo in this series?
I mean, I'd be all for it. She's supposed to be in Ahsoka, right? I mean, I'd be all for it.
Yes.
I mean, they're all going to tie in somehow, because I saw a post earlier today about somebody took a screenshot from Rosario Dawson's Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And something about that she was excited about this coming week's episode or whatever.
Ooh,
I'm like, oh, what? I looked on her Instagram, though. If that was a real post, she took it down.
Someone yelled at her.
Yeah. If that was a real post, somebody, she took it down.
You take that post right down, Missy.
So, I mean, you know,
dang.
The whole Ahsoka series is supposed to be the whole Thrawn, where's Ezra, where's Thrawn?
Yeah.
Right. I saw plenty of articles that we're going to give like some live action Rebels characters.
Yeah.
In here.
Oh, my God.
So,
it would be really funny if we did get Sabine and she like pops out and like joins up with these Mandalorians, and she just kind of rolls up and she pulls her helmet off and goes, hey, Bo. They're like, no. Oh, she took her helmet off. She took it off.
Yeah.
Somebody tell her you're not supposed to do that. You are no longer a Mandalorian till you've bathed in the living waters of Mandalore.
Man, and the armor is such a bitch. Man.
Yeah. You know what, though, was funny? Because now she has that water sample that she poured into that basin. Obviously, it seems like she's had, like, there was more of it in there.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't going to just take sacred living waters and dump it into, like, garbage water.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's like she's got this basin. Was it going to be, like, a baptism by living waters? You know, like, she's just going to, like, sprinkle it at people? You know, you're gonna be like, you may remove your helmet so I could dump the living waters over your forehead, but then put it right back on and you are redeemed. Like, how does it work?
I don't know. But That's the rumor on the street about next week's episode. It's also next week's episode. It's supposed to be the shortest one. Like 30-some minutes.
Sabine Wren flies by. She goes, what's up, guys? Later. And just flies away like, that was, who was that? Bo-Katan's like, oh, Sabine, I must go.
I mean, so 38 minutes-ish. But if they action-pack that 38 minutes... You know, like I that'd said,
38 minute episode would have been good for the Coruscant episode.
Yeah, but there was a lot of stuff. To
it was necessary. Untie. Like I'm not, yeah, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just being silly. Like it was a, yeah. It was a very necessary episode. If you okay, you have to have some kind of logic here. If you get an episode like that in the middle of the season, logic? Where you're like, no. Right, but if you're like. Hey, pardon me, time out. Why hand raised? Why are you giving us an episode like this? This is the Mandalorian show. You'd be like, oh, is it? Oh crap. We totally put the wrong episode in there. Shoot. We're gonna have to no shit. Like, hey guys, guess what? If we give you this episode, it's probably gonna mean something down the line. So just keep watching, you know. Quit your bitching and just enjoy the show. If you get through the final episode and you're like, hey, they didn't address that episode at all, then I'd be like, hey, garbage episode. You gave us an episode that meant nothing. Now you got room to complain. But you haven't even given them a chance. Didn't this happen a few times in some Marvel episodes too where we were like, hey, you know... Can you give the show a chance before you totally crap on it?
Yeah. Wow. From so, Hot Take Jake. Quit your bitching.
Quit your bitching. That is quit Y-E-R bitching with the exclamation point with an apostrophe. No G. Bitching.
Wow.
Yeah. That's right.
Well. That's a lot.
That was a lot.
That was a lot. We're set up for some good things.
Yeah, like we'll get a supposedly a very short, solid episode next week that Rosario Dawson is excited for.
Yeah.
And our penultimate Bad Batch episode.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed because, you know, Wednesday morning, that's kind of like my ritual, man. I wake up. Get a brew going. Brew by coffee, not like, you know, not like a beer, but like,
you know, us listeners do know that. So if you're listening for the first time ever, he's not talking beer.
You know, I get the Keurig going, do. Wake up. Usually I'll start with Mando because that's the longest one. So I get that's settled in. Good. You know, I'm drinking my coffee as I'm going through Mando. I'm like, all right, cool, good to go. Then sometimes I'll go right into Bad Batch. Sometimes, which is what I did this past week, I watched Mando. I'd got a workout in the morning. Then I watched Bad Batch with some breakfast. So it was like a whole morning thing, right? Well, not like whole morning, but I mean, it was a good chunk of my early morning.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to be shortened this week. Kind of a little disappointed with the short Mando episode.
Yeah, I hear you.
But, you know. But I guess we'll make up for it because we'll have two Bad Batch episodes to end the season and Mando.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul here.
Yeah. But,
you know, okay. Good to go. I'll take it. All right. I feel better about it now.
Good.
I thought about it that way.
I sent you a little something. I tripped across it while I was searching through stuff, and I thought you might have seen it before, but I needed to reshare it because I laughed when I saw it. I laughed.
Since we're talking about, you know, sequels there, yep.
Yeah.
Hope you liked my... My force flying.
Oh, that lovely article that I totally roasted. You're like, I said I was on a roll.
Well, it's funny that they make a comic and they're making fun of it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, basically saying that that was ridiculous.
Right.
Where they're like, even Yoda can't do that.
Yeah, or wouldn't.
Yeah, right.
Like, we have spaceships for a reason. And there were actually people trying to explain away the fact that she did. I'm like, you'll complain that an episode of Mandalorian spent a good chunk of the episode in Coruscant, not with Mando, but you're going to explain that the force flying of Princess Leia was necessary, or was like, oh, she should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Have we had a Star Wars show on here where I have not complained about that?
If we have, they're very few and far in between, right?
Yeah, it comes up at least once, and it's usually near the end of the episode.
And it makes sense
when I'm all riled up.
It makes sense too, like, logically, if you read the article. Basically, all right, if you don't know what I'm talking about, right? So Marvel and Disney, you know, they paired together, so they make comics for the Star Wars, and you know, they're canon because it's all Disney Marvel, so the comics are canon that they make. And it's the Yoda series that, which I haven't read. I think I'm going to dive into them. But I guess in this recent issue, they're talking about, you know, the Padawans. These Padawans are talking about Yoda and talking about how powerful he is and, you know, would he be able to force fly, basically. And they're like, no, even Yoda can't even do that. Like, even Yoda uses a ship. Like, no, no Jedi. They're basically like, no Jedi is that powerful. Basically kind of poking fun at the whole the whole force flying scene
You mean my favorite Star Wars moment ever? Your
favorite Star Wars moment ever.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like, she shouldn't be able to do that, because even Luke, who had way more training than she did, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be able to do that. And
but was somehow able to project himself across the universe to just basically mind F Kylo Ren.
But I feel like, all right, this was one part where in the article, it was either article or comment, like, Luke had so many years of training in isolation and stuff like that. Leia had training, but like most of her life, she was like basically a rebel and a politician. And
yeah.
The only training that at least we see,
a badass in her own right,
yes, but not like this whole life well-trained Jedi.
It would have been like, it would have been like saying, you know, never once showing her do anything Jedi related, and then all of a sudden
she could do the most powerful Jedi shit ever.
Yeah, or like she's, you know, she's just sitting there, and all of a sudden she just like steals Kylo Ren's lightsaber or something, like, from him. Like, oh my god, no one would ever be able to do that. Well, I have Jedi in my blood.
You know. So,
no offense to Carrie Fisher.
Which brings me to another thing about the sequels. The whole force healing thing that they introduced. I don't know how I feel about that.
They also introduced it in...
They did it in Mando with Grogu, I mean, but they're trying to, again, hey, this is Kathleen. She's giving John, you know, and Dave a call. Like, hey, I did this in my sequels.
You saved my ass again.
Can we figure something out? Oh, okay, Kathleen. Damn. Like,
I have less of a problem with the force or the force healing. That doesn't bother me so much. I'm okay with that. I feel like that's something that that should be able to happen. Personally,
But force flying, on the other hand.
In space! Like, I get it, maybe if she was, like, able to, like... Okay, there's a difference between force flying and force flying in the vacuum of space. Like, if she was already, like, shot out into space, her body should have collapsed. Like, lungs collapsed. Like, she should
and
not
then
have
somebody,
been able to come back to
somebody
life.
Somebody brought up the fact that, yeah, when she's out there, she was unconscious. So, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if she would open her eyes, there should have been no eyeballs there. So she's not force nothing. She's not doing force nothing there. Just because she has the powers of a Jedi and the training of a Jedi does not mean she can defy that kind of gravity and such. That's why they have spacesuits. That's why Jedi don't fly into space that way. Like, you don't see them like Supermaning out into orbit. Like, I must go save the planet. Vroom, Superman flies away into space. I guess Superman could do it. So,
yeah, Superman can do it. But
oh, maybe that
Superman.
Maybe, yeah, but yeah, exactly. It's not like a Jedi is like impervious to damage.
Yeah,
as is shown in Order 66. So yeah, it's not like you can just unless they projected like some kind of force shield or force field. Oh, see what I did there? Around themselves when they go into space, like that'd be one thing, but that would take a lot of energy, and they wouldn't be able to do like much of anything else.
I think I'm gonna like try to make it my mission in life for every remaining episode.
Oh boy,
the 14,605 and counting. To somehow get you riled up about this. We could be talking freaking Marvel about Thor, and I'm going to figure a way to bring it up.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, you know how Thor, you know, was going through space with Stormbreaker, kind of like how Leia was force flying. How do you feel about that? Like, something like that. Hey, hot take, Jake. You know how Kang, you know, he's going through time and stuff like that. He's force flying through time, right?
You're gonna ruin Marvel for me, aren't you? I thought we were friends.
Yeah. Like, hey, you know, when those mutants, man, you know, they're all, you know, they were
what mutants?
They were. Oh. They were, ooh. That's low.
Yeah.
That's low. Oh, that's low. That's low.
Fighting fire with fire.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Wow. That is low. Wow.
I apologize. That wasn't very nice.
Yes. Apology accepted.
as you're egging me on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ladies and gentlemen,
I think that covers it for us.
Yeah. We didn't go on too many tangents today.
we had some decent tangents, but
they weren't long though.
We surprisingly kept this short.
Usually when we go on a tangent, it's like 45 minutes at a time.
Yeah. That's true.
You know. So, we kept it short.
Today. We hope you enjoyed the episode. As usual, we have fun discussing these things, and we hope you have fun listening. So
yeah.
So
we
with
got
that,
a short Mando. We got a short Mando next week, but I believe a banger Bad Batch, the penultimate episode of the season.
I concur.
We'll see.
I'm hoping we get some Sabine Wren. That'd be pretty sweet.
We'll see.
That'd be like Dave Filoni being like, hey, look, another character I created that's awesome. He's getting them all in.
Yeah.
So that would be a really nice tie-in to Ahsoka then.
Yeah.
Starting to really tie his property.
Which, if he doesn't together, do it next week, he's going to do it at some point in this Mando season.
He's going to have to. But hey, I mean, let's not complain about the Mandalorian show tying into the Star Wars universe or anything.
Wow. Shots fired.
Butcher bitches.
Shots
quit
fired.
Quit your bitching.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, for Bullseye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And as always,
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.